This is Jack Scallions. Would you join me for just a few moments from my heart to yours? Traveling north on old Highway 51 through a little town called Halls, Tennessee, you'll immediately see an enormous salvage yard for the next 2 or 3 miles. So large, a railroad line was brought to it. The tall cranes with magnetic loaders move mountains of metal daily. This just one of the properties owned by a man who grew up in the area dirt poor. As a teen, while his friends were playing sports or enjoying leisure time, you could find him lumbering around the country roads in an old ragged pickup truck picking up scrap metal. Today, this man is a millionaire, many times over. It was common knowledge that the very first profits from his businesses were used to build his parents a large brick home with all the modern conveniences. Many times that story has reminded me of the heart of a child who was grateful and exhibited care for his parents. What a grand lesson that is for all of us. In many cases, parents pass away before children are able to properly express in tangible ways their love. My thoughts turn to a little mother who raised a family of boys alone on a meager Social Security check. She fed and clothed them through difficult times. The boys are men now and highly successful in their fields of endeavor. Their mother's in heaven. And I can only imagine, should she be alive today, no expense would be spared to see that she had all her needs and wants met in abundance. I say this because my parents have been gone for many years, and while I was growing up, I remembered their sacrifice for me. Oh, how I wish I could have them back to shower them with love and attention. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in his day that practiced a word called Corban, which meant a gift could be given to the temple and the donor would be released from the obligation of caring for his parents. Jesus expressed his disdain of this practice as a violation of the fifth commandment. Paul, in his epistle to the church at Ephesus, reiterated this truth that children are to obey and to honor, which means to treat as precious fathers and mothers, emphasizing again the commandment that comes with the promise of long life. Solomon repeatedly raises the issue in the Proverbs with warnings to those who violate and blessings to those who practice it. One of the seven sayings of Christ on the cross was directed to John, giving him care for his mother. What a high honor Jesus bestowed on the beloved disciple. I heard the story of a young Mexican boy who grew up in poverty. The family had no refrigeration in the tiny adobe house. Large clay pots were buried deep in the ground around the house to hold any perishable food or drink. The little Mexican boy watched his mother labor to preserve and prepare each day food in those primitive conditions. He promised himself that he would one day buy his mother a refrigerator. He left home barely 16 years old and joined the army. The pay was small, but with his first paycheck, he made a visit to an appliance store and bought his mother that refrigerator. It took most of the next 3 paychecks to finish paying the debt, but to this day his heart swells when he speaks of his care of his mother. Many times I would make the trip home and take my son with me. We'd cut the winter wood and care for farm chores and do odd jobs. I wanted my son to see me care for my dad. While parents are living, wise children should teach their children by word and example, realizing that what goes around comes around. Society today has a way of discarding the elderly. Granted, it is necessary at times for medical reasons and critical care to relinquish partial or total care, but never out of simple selfishness or convenience. As a pastor, I've seen this happen many times. The losers in those cases are the children always. The care for parents does not always involve the financial or the material. There are a myriad of other ways that often trump the physical. Frequent communication with them and to God for them holds no price tag. Continuation and participation in family traditions, impromptu visits, and maybe from time to time a surprise gift or treat. John, in his third epistle, marked the greatest joy for any parents was to know that their children walked in truth. As the last of five children, my dad and mother spoiled me. I readily admit that fact and remember enjoying every moment of it. But like all young people, the day came to break the apron strings, but never the heart strings. To go home, to be with them, to love on them, what fond memories. That even today, speaking as an old man, fill my heart with emotion and my eyes with tears. I read a moving account of Henry Grady, his love for home and his mother. Traveling through Atlanta, Georgia, you may see Grady Memorial Hospital, Grady High School, Grady College of Journalism, and Grady County. Henry Grady was born in Athens, Georgia in 1850 on the heels of the Civil War. The South laying in ruins, he became a voice for the healing of the nation. He coined the phrase New South, and by age 36, his influence had extended nationwide. The story is told that in the midst of all his success and notoriety, he came to feel empty inside and lost. His thoughts turned to the old home place in Athens, Georgia, and to his mother. One day, Grady walked into his office and said to his associates, "I'm going away for a week or two, and I want no one to know where I am." He took a train to Athens, Georgia, made his way down the old country road to the home place where his mother waited. He told his mother he wanted to be home for a while. He wanted to be her little boy again. During the next days, she cooked his favorite foods. They sat and talked for hours about bygone days. At night, she came to his bedside and tucked his covers around him. She prayed by his bedside, and on the Lord's Day, he went to the little country church where he sat in Sunday school as a boy. He sang with the children, "Shall we gather at the river?" This prestigious and famous man covered his face and wept like a child. He needed to go home. He needed to go back to the beginnings, retracing those footsteps, refreshing his soul. The following year, he single-handedly brought much of a divided nation together through his writings and speaking nationwide. He'd played a role in pulling the South out of the ashes. December 1889, Grady left Boston for a home in Atlanta. He developed pneumonia. At age 39, he closed his eyes in death. His last words to his mother were, "Mother, my feet are in the river." He had gone home. My word today to all who listen, whose parents are listening, make that phone call, plan that visit, send a note of appreciation and gratitude. Hold them a bit closer to you today and share the words with them, "I love you." In other words, treat them as precious. This is Jack Scallions. I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity today to share just a few moments from my heart to yours.